This is Steve Sherlock, another Franklin Matters radio show, number 694 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with Franklin Public Schools Superintendent Sarah Ahern. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. In our conversation, we talk about the mid-year status held as we talked on the first snow day of the school year. Her personnel status, to get that out of the way, because I know folks are going to be asking about that. And there's much that we do continue to discuss, including working with the new school committee, the FY 2022 budget adjustment, administrative searches underway, capital budget being readied, the FY 2023 budget in preparation, and the Davis Thayer surplus decision, which remains along with the master facility plan work ahead of them. Our conversation runs about 21 minutes, so let's listen in to my conversation with Sarah Ahern. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM, and here in the local Franklin area FM dial at 102.9, here with a mid-school year session with our superintendent, Sarah Ahern. Sarah, good day.
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and I think you're doing better because this is the first snow day this school year.
It is our first snow day this school year. It's been a long time since we've had a good old-fashioned snow day, and I think it's coming at a really good time. Everybody's a bit heightened and a bit stressed, and so it felt like a good thing, and I hope everybody's enjoying some playtime out in the snow.
Some playtime, maybe some work time shoveling, but at least some relaxed time recovering, warming up, getting that hot chocolate or whatever other liquid beverage.
Yep, I'll be shoveling in a few moments.
Indeed. So clearly we're mid-school year, new calendar year. There's a bunch of things going on. You've already had a budget adjustment to make. You've got a new school committee to work with. But I think to just start with your own status, let's kind of get that addressed. And yeah, because apparently you're a candidate for another school position.
I am. Yeah. So right now I'm a finalist for a position, the superintendent position in Barnstable. I absolutely love Franklin and I treasure and cherish the time and relationships that I've invested here. But for personal reasons, I wanted to explore that possibility. So currently I'm a finalist, but I think it's important to know, again, how much I love Franklin and how committed I am to the students and the families and our faculty and staff. And so the work doesn't stop. There are, in the search process, more steps to follow and a decision has yet to be made. There are site visits and a formal interview with their school committee before they make a decision, which I anticipate will be, which won't be too much longer. I think they're looking to make a decision by mid-January. But regardless of what that decision is, there's such fondness in my heart for Franklin, and I will remain committed to doing what I need to support students, families, and staff.
Good. Thank you. And as we've talked, you've got plenty on your plate, so you don't you're not lacking for things to do between now and whenever, if that decision comes.
Yes, there are quite a few things, and you highlighted some of them. We have a new committee recently elected in November, and so it's been a pleasure to work with them as they get started with the work underway. We've been meeting in subcommittees. So a few meetings happened before the break, but the subcommittee meetings, I think, are going to be happening with more regularity and more frequency coming up. So the budget subcommittee met in December. We had a policy subcommittee meeting recently, and I know community relations is going to be meeting soon as well. So that work with the school committee is getting up and running kind of with the new administration, so to speak, after the election. And, one of the tasks at hand immediately will be diving into the budget and doing budget development. FY22 budget is certainly underway. You had referenced a budget adjustment that we are putting forward to the school committee for their decision on Tuesday, the 11th. The budget was reduced by about $93,000. We did anticipate that this might be a possibility back last summer in terms of talking with the town administrator, Jamie Helen, We knew that it was a potential possibility. So it didn't come as a complete surprise. And we did have more than average retirements happening in the district at the end of last year. And our principals did a really amazing job hiring some excellent candidates to come into our district this year. And so we have some favorability in our salary line. So we'll be able to absorb that budget adjustment there. I want to be clear that just because it's coming out of a salary line does not mean that any individual will be affected or it's not a position. It's just some favorability that we're experiencing based on what our expenses are looking to be versus what we budgeted.
Yeah. And to elaborate for the newer listeners, for regular listeners, if you've listened to some of my FinCom sessions or certainly with the town administrator and town council chair, some of those discussions were alluded to. Yes, that clearly you started out with some expectation. The state revenue changed. You've budgeted some within that. And then you've got some individual changes where, because of their retirements, as you say, you're able to absorb, if you will, without making any real, you know, impact to people per se.
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly. And I think the other thing that we're actively working on is the capital budget request. Mm-hmm. So that'll be coming up at the next school committee meeting. We know in the capital plan that we've put forward to the school committee that there's more in there than will ultimately be funded. But we do think it's important, at least for, you know, subsequent years, to put on the radar screen what some of the future needs will also be. So we recognize that there will be a prioritization that'll need to happen, but we did want to just raise awareness that there are needs in areas like curriculum and in particular technology that are going to need to be attended to through capital or another means in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and offhand, you're probably aware as well, the Community Preservation Act is now providing some funds for some areas, but I'm not sure that the school budget would necessarily fit as well into some of those areas, more so than the town would.
Yeah, I don't know that it necessarily does either, from what I understand, although I recall some of the discussions that were happening as that was getting put forward and approved. And mm-hmm. I think it's just there. It's an amazing opportunity for the town. There's a lot of things that can be supported by
that
act.
And the one area that comes to mind, at least for me, is some of the school playgrounds. To a certain extent, they're town property anyway, but town property / school property, that could cover under, you know, kind of the recreational aspects, et cetera. But that'll get resolved as that committee goes forward and the budget process goes forward itself. So, yeah.
Right. And so pretty soon we'll be turning our attention to FY23. We had a budget workshop with the school committee and came to understand what some of their priorities are. We went through the budget timeline, which we anticipate will be very consistent with how it's been in recent years, with a superintendent's recommended budget coming out this year in early March, working towards the ultimate allocation at the meeting in the budget hearing in late May. And so now, between now and March 9th, a lot of work happens with the administrative team, who's working with their school councils to put forward budget requests to be included in the recommended budget.
And then for the listener's benefit as well, that ties into, there will also be a school presentation to the FinCom. I mm-hmm. believe there's also to be scheduled that joint budget committee, which is school FinCom and the budget folks from town council as well. So there'll be additional ways to at least enhance the understanding, which I think between you and Jamie, you've made some progress last year, and there's still progress to be made in terms of, while the town council clearly respectfully only has the top line approval, all the details are within your realm and with the school committee realm. The understanding that the council and the FinCom should have, at least as to what the drivers are, better understanding of that is certainly a help in getting at least your top dollar line approved, which then you can manage as you do.
Exactly. Yeah, we've really been, I think, working hard to work with the town council and the community to explain the story of Franklin and how mm-hmm. we got to where we are, and maybe illuminate some misunderstandings that have been occurring particularly as it relates to enrollment. Our enrollment has gone down, not because a lot of school choice, but really more a matter of kind of the natural birth rate process.
Demographics, right.
And demographic shift. Mm-hmm. So we've done that and happy to continue to do so because it can be pretty dense to understand all the machinations that go into both the town and the school budget, particularly when you factor in different revenue sources coming from the state.
Yeah, I still don't call myself an expert, although having spent as many years as I do following, at least I know a lot, but I still learn something every time I go to a meeting. It's like, oh, okay, that's where that is.
Right. And things change too. And this has been actually a really, really dynamic time with additional federal relief funds and how those get applied and being really careful to apply those in ways that don't create or exacerbate any sort of budget shortfall or deficit.
Right, because while the federal money can help us now in a particular area, whether it's, social emotional learning with additional resources, once you've brought them on, when the funds expire, you've got to have a place for where those pieces would go, assuming they do want to remain within the operation. And the size of the dollars of whatever that increase is, it needs to be prepared for. And that's where the challenge is.
Exactly. So I think we've really tried to be strategic and stretch those dollars too. Those can be spent through 2024. And so we've really tried to be strategic in their use.
And you've got some resource issues. Clearly, currently, you're challenged on almost a regular basis because of the COVID status and exposures. You're still looking for substitutes, but you've also got a couple of searches underway as well.
We do. We have quite a few administrative searches right now. We have the school committee has approved a job description for a diversity, equity, and inclusion director. So we're really looking forward to launching that search and having somebody join us to promote those efforts and be a resource really to students and families, a resource to faculty and staff, and a resource within the community. We think it can really help move our efforts forward in terms of affirming diversity in the community. So the search process is just getting underway with the posting and will be underway for the next couple of months. As we typically do when we search for administrative positions, we put together a search committee to interview candidates after an initial paper screening has been done. And then finalists are put forward for further rounds of interviewing and site visits in the district before a decision gets made. We have two interim administrators, actually three interim administrators at the moment. We have an interim director of humanities, ELA and social studies with Linda Ashley. And we have an interim position at Kennedy with Dr. Connolly serving as interim principal and then an interim assistant principal position. So we have to also sort through those interim positions and have permanent appointments made there. So there will be some processes coming forward related to those. And a big position currently advertised for at the high school is that of athletic director. So Mr. Angelo has announced his retirement. They're going to be huge shoes to fill. He has been an astonishingly great athletic director. And I think I want to take a moment to talk a little bit about that. We're so proud of the winning record and the multiple-year Dalton Awards of our athletic teams. And that's certainly part of defining achievement and success there. But Mr. Angelo, I think, has also been a leader in terms of his beliefs around inclusion and the expansion of our unified sports programs. We are incredibly proud of that. Mr. Angelo has also been, I think, really fostering a sense of community and a sense of leadership among the student athletes, making sure they focus on their scholarship. I know that there's community service efforts. And so he's a real role model for all of our coaches to follow. And his shoes are going to be huge to fill.
Yeah, I was fortunate to spend some time with him, and that audio for a slide plug is available for the folks who want to listen to he and I converse in the athletic directors. And I think we spent 50 minutes or so, going through his story from the beginning and, yeah, highlighted the special ed and the unified sports. And he will be busy going after. Clearly, he will retire. He'll enjoy his retirement, but he's not totally going away. So some of those things are still continuing. And to his credit, and I've enjoyed my retirement doing this as well. So, yeah, I wish him well. But yeah, it's going to be a big shoe to fill because it has created that, you know, expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. So that posting, I believe, is up now. And again, it'll be a similar search process. We really try to include in all of these interview processes various stakeholders. So you know, you can imagine that athletes and families and coaches, other administrators will all be involved as we get that search underway.
In his interview, Chloe, again, slight other plug, he acknowledged himself. He runs an office, but there's a couple of key people there. Names escape me at the moment, but those are there. And he certainly entrusts the coaches and the athletes and gives them the credit because they're the ones that actually put it, you know, when the game goes on, match goes off, they're the ones that are doing it. So, yeah, a lot of credit to him and to that entire process.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He is, he's great. So we will miss him very, very much. Mm-hmm.
The Davis Thayer decision, I think is one that is out there too, although I'm sure it's on your radar.
It is. It is on the radar. So right now, Davis Thayer is still in kind of school department control. Although what I would say is that we're collaborating very closely with the town administrator's office and in particular the facilities department around, you know, kind of how it's being used. And it actually is serving a pretty important purpose. We are still dealing with COVID, I think more so than we had hoped, certainly last summer and even early into the fall. I don't think any of us expected to be, I think we maybe expected a winter surge, but certainly not of this magnitude. And it does have an effect and an impact on how we use our buildings. So Davis Thayer is holding quite a bit of our furniture still. Mm-hmm. So we have recommitted, not that this hasn't been happening all year long, but we've recommitted to some of our distancing practices, particularly in the younger grades. So our cafeteria tables from multiple schools are over at Davis Thayer while desks are deployed so that students can spread out between 3 and 6 feet to eat lunch.
Right.
And we also have been storing a significant amount of PPE at Davis Thayer. So there's masks and hand sanitizer and other personal protective equipment that we are accessing for our COVID response. So that is kind of a big part of how DT is currently being used. We did spend the fall going through items that were there and identifying those that would be useful in other buildings. So some furniture has been redeployed across the district to other elementary schools and our ECDC school. So that has been really helpful. And as we kind of undertake a master facilities plan, we'll be considering, you know, kind of the big question around transferring it over to the town. Don't want to rush that process. There are some expectations, I think, through the Massachusetts School Building Authority that I'd want to make sure that they're kind of in the loop on that. Should the district proceed in a direction to build a building in the future, we just want to make sure that we're communicating with them about our demographics and our student enrollment and our needs and our facility spaces. So that's kind of what we're currently doing is making plans along those lines. And it's kind of the update on Davis Thayer at this time.
And I think related to that, you are going to be putting together a team to pull together kind of the master facility plan, which I think would be key to making the MSBA update as well.
Yeah. So I think we need to be thinking about Davis Thayer in context of kind of that master facilities plan and and be thinking holistically. And that is, with a new committee and a new calendar year, one of our tasks to get underway soon. Mm-hmm.
Never a dull moment.
No. It is not. Is anything but dull in the schools these days?
No, indeed. I certainly appreciate you taking time from your snow day. I know there's some snow out there that you're still going to need to address as well.
No, thank you. It is a work day. And sometimes on snow days, we open the office and we work from the office. But given the duration of the storm and also, you know, COVID cases, and we've learned a lot. People are working from home today, as am I. But I will have to shovel later.
Later, yes. It doesn't go away. As much as we'd like. Yeah, we haven't got that, you know, finger on the nose thing to just kind of like click, click, go, go. Someday, nope. Maybe. Well, thank you again for taking time to inform the community on your status and a bunch of other things. And I think, as we've talked before, this will be hopefully more frequent as the rest of the school year continues. But I appreciate your time and certainly understand your schedule, and we'll work to coordinate accordingly.
That's great, Steve. Happy to come back. Thank you for the time today.
Oh, thank you again. And for everybody else, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.